plus, you know, we're in that sort of screen.
Yes.
They stuffed up their random number generator such that their primary keys and a lot of certificates were clashing.
And someone discovered earlier this year that actually a whole bunch of PGP keys and SSL certificates have the same problem. And GNU for a while were publishing information that they were calling about this. And we don't want to do that. So that's all been taken offline and they're contacting people privately. But there's a whole bunch of crap out in the industry where CAs have... Well, this isn't even just hacking. They've just failed to adequately generate random prime numbers. So you've got, from some of these CAs, you've got one in 1,000 other certificates are clashing with yours. And if it clashes with yours, your private key can not be directly used because it's only one of the two prime numbers that are clashing, and there's two used in the array. But it makes brute forcing the other one really, really quick. Like it brings it down to a couple of seconds instead of tens of trillions of years.
I heard recently that through some policy change or whatever, it was discovered that a fairly major CA had actually generated at some stage a wildcard certificate. So a wildcard for everything. And they'd given that certificate to one of those SSL man in the middle corporate product vendors.
Yep.
So not only was this certificate generated, it was probably in boxes that were sold that are within companies.
Yep.
And
there have been cases of CAs in China selling certificates for Google.cc to companies that aren't Google.
This is wild.
I know this is a wild card, but there have been so many cases of the CA system failing, but it's the only system we've got at the moment. Unless people start using MonkeySphere and Web Trust.
I had a look at MonkeySphere, just saying.
It's quite beta, yeah.
It only does checks on certificates that don't validate.
Yes, at
so
the moment, yeah.
If you've got a stolen certificate from a CA, it won't even use MonkeySphere.
It'll still verify it, that's true. And there are other problems with it as well. But it's a neat proof of concept in the right direction, I think. People are using it for production. May 1st, that was on briefly referenced on one of the slides, are using MonkeySphere in production. That's actually how I heard about it. These guys, it doesn't say May 1st anywhere in there, but that blog is by a company called May 1st, which do customer, like VBS style hosting thing. And they do Puppet a lot better than a lot of people, and SSH key management a lot better than a lot of people as well. And they seem to be the only ones really pushing MonkeySphere. Like half of the bugs are from them and half of the patches seem to be from them.
Bug reports, sorry.
You wouldn't get that right. Dave, there was a Richard Cottrell replied to the M1 meeting about this talk during the week, and he said, maybe it was one of his typical cryptic comments, but he said you've got to be careful that you don't end up not having a talk to anybody. I'm not really meant by that, but I had a similar experience where I was sweating on an email as an answer to a technical problem from a guy that I emailed to irregularly, and he decided to turn all this encryption on, but he never told anybody the keys. So here I am about midnight, and finally, yes, he's told me the answer, and he disappeared and went to bed or whatever. And it wasn't until about 2 days later I get on the phone and find out in his email. Is this because of failure to send the keys over, or is this a trap that people can fall into if they turn this technology on and fail to tell all the right people desperately to read the
risk? If you're signing, you won't have a problem because the text will still be clear.
Yeah. I couldn't reply to him every time I had to reply to his email. It said you don't know the key, you can't, or something.
You've got his key.
Well, no, he never handed out his keys to the public.
Yeah. So if it's GPG, PGP or GPG. He needs your public key to encrypt a document to send it to you.
Yeah.
So he's probably talking about something else. I don't really... I can't see a way that
GPG or PGB could suffer that problem. It does suffer plenty of other problems like lack of adoption, which makes the word of trust not as useful as it would be, which is why a lot of people have key signing parties, which I think some of us have brought our keys for later. and
otherwise you can't talk to each other.
Yeah, well,
you just can't verify.
They'll still see the message, but they can't say that's from them.
Oh, you just can't trust
verify it.
Yeah. So if your web of trust is very small, and you want to encrypt something to someone else, you've just got to blindly. If you don't trust them independently, you've got to blindly trust that however you found their public key was valid. Like maybe they published it on their website, so you just hope that their website wasn't hacked and the DNS was working correctly. And because we still haven't got DNSSEC working correctly, I don't think.
If I understand the web of trust thing properly, it's kind of each person can decide how many degrees they can trust someone.
Yes,
so if I want to send a message to Linus Torvalds, I'm going to trust him. But there's like five steps between me and him. It's up to him to decide whether that's a trustworthy message or not.
When he's verifying your signature, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's completely configurable in the client, like GPG, the command line. My understanding is that all of the clients, because there's different clients and different OSs, and even within Linux, they all have different defaults. And by rule, people understand them. I haven't bothered to understand them. I'm just trusting the GNU defaults at the moment. Seems good enough. The basic thing they do is just limit full trust depth. So I think it might be two or three. So the fact that Michael trusts Gary means, and I trust Michael, means that I trust Gary. But if it's sort of a roundabout relationship, that's where it gets a bit more convoluted, and you sort of just say, if I've got marginal trust for someone, like if it was beyond that depth, it becomes marginal. If I've got like five people marginally trust this person, then I can trust it. But I don't know what the actual numbers are.
Hello.
Sorry to interrupt, but we just want to have a comment. Are you eating?
Hands up if you're eating. Guys?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
George and Nicole.
Are you eating?
Mine?
Can I get vegetarian?
Yeah. So mine and one vegetarian?
Yes. I stole some of this from that guy as well. I've listed the mail posts there if you want. Which will of course be uploaded.
So he was the reason I actually bothered to get around to creating my own key. that was only my last year.
Right.
So I haven't really been playing with it very long. Anything else? Thank you.
That's it.
Can I? Oh, did we want any more demos like Thunderbird?
Yeah, what demo?
Have you got Thunderbird running?
Yeah.
No.
I did.
Lots of them, because I printed them out from LCA actually.
So this is Michael's private email thing that I'm displaying to everyone. Where are the account settings?
When I installed Enigmail, it popped up there in the standard config thing. If I want to do crypto on this account, I can just turn it on. If I have multiple IDs, I get a window on the wrong monitor and it's trying to run a wizard that I don't want to run. So let's not do that.
Yeah.
Oh, there we are. Yeah. So I can pick a specific ID. I can set defaults whether I'm encrypting or whether I'm using this PGP mime thing. As far as I can figure out, that just meant either
if I tick it, I can use HTML and it's a separate attachment. But then, you've got the problem with like people putting in white text that you've signed. If you don't tick it, it's ASCII armored and it has to be plain text for it to work. Sanely. And it actually prompts you. It says, hey, you've written stuff in HTML and I'm about to convert it to plain text because I'm about to encrypt it. That might be a problem.
What? It's supposed to show up there. Oh, there we are. So I can go like encrypt message and it should tick. Sign message, it should tick. Blah blah. If I send it to himself, just because that's fine. Yeah, that'll do. Yeah. Best encrypted message.
You probably don't have internet, but yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
So there's the complaint, because I didn't tick the button, so it's going to say, yeah, plain text, blah. Then you do it, and it'll send, and it does actually work. Have a play.
Oh, yeah.
It's good fun. Oh. It actually just works. You just install Enigmail. Enigmail?
Enigmail
is that? It just works.
Oh, well, do you want to type in your passphrase and do it all?
Do we have internet?
I don't know. Do you want to sign into my internet?
Oh, we do. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we could probably do this. Oh, yeah, okay. Let me... Yeah. I can send it to...
Whatever you get back.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, Gmail's good because you can go and log into Gmail and see that it's completely unreadable.
Yeah.
And then you can view it in this and see the user error.
Okay, cool.
Just to do one.
Okay, yeah. Alright. Should I? Oh, right, for 5 minutes.
You can tune that. See ya.
Gotcha.
See you tomorrow.
Ah, yeah.
So, it actually encrypted this
thing. Ah, yeah.
It's trying to send it.
Yeah, there it is. So, in the sent messages, it's.
Yeah, well, it doesn't want to store it as.
It's just in blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Do you think it'd encrypt that in less than 6 years?
Yeah.
There's a
known
text.
That's what it said.
So, it said, hey, it's an open PGP message. I've encrypted it. It had a good signature because you actually signed your own key.
Oh, yeah.
Good
signature.
That's
good.
Stuff I don't know enough about, but a lot of other people do.
One thing with the keys on there, with the Enigma especially, if you have a passphrase on your key, you have to enter it every time when you view the message.
There's a cache time, and it actually said in the
five
prompt,
minutes.
Hey, I'll cache that for 5 minutes for you. And you can change it, and
yeah.
I can't remember how I did, but I said it's 2 hours, because it was annoying me.
Yeah, every time you click on it, you have to enter the passphrase. If you use the passphrase on there,
or
you can do it without a passphrase.
Well, you can use GPG Agent, which is not actually exposing any of the private key material to Thunderbird or anything to turn.
Within 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's sometime, about a year or ago.
GPG Agent has been around a long time, probably almost as long as GPG. Sometimes a bit painful to work, but in Thunderbird with Enigmail on Ubuntu, the defaults work, but just 5 minutes, and you can change it. I'll stop, sorry.
So, no, just with that one, when I read it there. If it was after 5 minutes, would I have had to type the password in or not?
It would prompt you, yes.
Because I'm reading it. That's the one that's the one I'm receiving.
Yep.
Okay.
Other interesting things to note is because it's encrypted, it can't be indexed. So you can't search for the contents in the mail.
Okay, but who's
because
like so if you sent me a pass if you sent me an email like I type my password in, what's the deal?
If I sent you an email encrypted
with
your public key,
yeah, and
then
I type mine
your
to
private
un-
key to decrypt it, so you type
yeah.
in your passphrase.
As long as after 5 minutes or 2 hours, it just said it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's completely configurable. You could obviously just turn off the passphrase, but it's really bad because then it's an easily accessible file on disk.
Yeah.
With the agent, it's at least a process that's had a lot of thought put into not leaking memory to other processes in bad ways and. Not exposing actual key material, but actually just answering challenges.
So when I go back and when I create a new email and I'm sending it to you, I've got to select your public key when I'm sending it to you.
Yes,
yeah.
But it's reasonably smart. And it's the same thing for me. If someone's UID exactly matches the address book entry, it just defaults to 2-bit.
Beautiful.
So the Thunderbird Enigmail user interface seems to work most of the time.
Right.
I haven't used it often enough to be certain.
Just back up three sentences. You were writing an email from you to him,
yep,
using
his public key that I give him like tonight. Yeah.
You had to pick his key.
Public key.
Yeah, when you were writing to him.
Yep.
And then you used your
private key.
But wouldn't you normally be writing an email from you with your key
The difference between the signing and the encryption. So with the encryption, I need to know Michael's public key.
Right.
With the signing, I need to know my private key.
Okay.
And when you sign
yours only and send it to him.
I only need to know mine.
But you just have to trust it's from him.
Well, no.
If he just signs it, I can read it all, but if I want to know it's from him to verify, then I can...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But if he sends it encrypted, he has to use my public key. And then I can't read it until I type in my private key, my password. And then it unlocks it. Then I can read it. That's right.
If you want something,
Thunderbird automatically ticks them on for you.
Ah, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, it's just ticking.
Yeah, Malcolm's email is his key, so it just does it.
So, yeah. Yes.
And then he knows his own passphrase, trying to do his own stuff.
If you're sending it to multiple people,
not only does he understand, but he has to remember his own passphrase, which is easy for him.
Yes.
I just remembered something that I completely forgot to mention. Keys can expire, and you should set them to the expire, because if you stuff up your revocation certificate, that's how long you can afford to have it be stuffed for.
Yeah, well,
sort of.
I thought so. So I set mine to a year.
Yeah, I think mine's 3 or something. So that was just another random thing for him. I think I should stop answering questions and we should go have beer.
If you set it for a year, do you have to start your key signing again after a year?
You can just update the expiry if you've still got access to the key, and I don't think it actually prevents you from updating the expiry on an expired key. Although I know someone recently who did it and just decided that a new key was the thing to do.
So why does that protect you from anything with your revocation?
It prevents someone from claiming to be you.
Ah.
No. It's other problems. If a key's expired and it's generating signed messages, then... Oh, sorry, I see the point. You can't sign it if it's already expired.
But if you can just renew it with the key that they've stolen, then what's the point of expiring it to stop them from still sending messages because you lost the certificate?
Cookies. I don't know, does anyone else know?
are you sure you can renew the certificate?
I'm not 100% certain. I can update the expiry on my current one because I had set it to a year and then decided that I didn't like a year and I set it to 3 or something.
So you
can
test these things,
or okay.
Because I think you might find that it's one of the...
Easier to explain.
Not the
you can set expiries on all, I think. Will that give me it? Let's find out. There's a pub and stuff there. So there's actually multiple keys in GPG, and I don't know why it's called pub. It's like your primary one.
Beacon.
This one's kind of used for your identity stuff. And it signs ones that you use for other stuff. And there's a flag I can pass in there that I've forgotten that lets me see what mode they all are. But there's like authentication and just for encryption in email and some other stuff. It's all very well documented in the protocol. And you can have many of these. So if I actually go and get
my key, let's see if this works. Search... Have you killed it?
I don't And time for gone.
Do you want me to just do it on mine?
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Wait. Mine's been on this whole time, so.
Nick. Just click on me.
Never.
It was working.
So. This will totally work. No, doesn't work.
I'm waiting for it to connect.
You and your wireless?
I think this highlights the reissue.
What?
The key management is the complex part.
Oh, it's, yeah, it is.
And
there's a lot of complexity around it.
Go.
Well, I quite like Seahorse actually, because it actually makes it really easy. A lot of the defaults are very sensible. It's designed by people that have actually put a lot of thought into the security. There've been obvious security flaws I'm aware of found in it. It's mostly point and click and tells you to do the right thing most of the time. So it's actually pretty good in that regard.
Oh come on!
Yeah.
Found it.
That's right.
One.
A lot of it really depends on the key service. If you can have propagated root data and a reliable key service, then better accessible.
And then
it should work perfectly.
But that doesn't show your public key, does it?
No, but now I've grabbed a copy of my key onto your laptop as you.
As me, yeah.
And I'm just going to say that you can actually have multiple of these subkeys. So the reason why I set up this other subkey here was because I was trying to get Monkey's Fear working. I've got a VM running the Monkey's Fear service, and you sign the host keys on the destination machine, and you install your UID as a trusted a trusted person to add stuff to this host. And then you just chuck your UID in something that's kind of similar to SSH's authorized key style, but it's for MonkeySphere. And then MonkeySphere just manages the rest so that the users can update their PGP keys here, have them automatically expire, whatever. I said expire on that, and I forgot to sync it. Just like, yeah, that's because last night I went to expire this one and I updated the expiry on the other one. And then I synced it anyway. Because I'm like that. Last night? Not
okay,
before.
So, alright. So we've done a key exchange. What do we do when we get this back home?
Good question. It is on the.
With the public key, as if you give one to me.
So you look at that.
Yeah, I look at that.
And you also, I'll give you my license because it's a way of identifying that my name is the name on the key.
So I trust that guy.
Let's do this with Seahorse just to keep it nice and simple.
Yeah.
Because I like Seahorse and I can't be fucked with the command line for this, to be honest.
Yeah.
Other keys. So you can see me in here.
Okay.
You can right click on that and you can go sign.
Ah, okay.
And it's easy.
Yeah.
And then
that's
you just say how much you've done it, how well you've verified it. The recommendation is that if you've read it over the phone,
for example, you could read the key fingerprint to the person over the phone. You're supposed to click casually.
Yeah,
but
which
is like marginal
trust.
Yeah.
So,
Also, have you actually checked that the fingerprint is the right one?
Well, how do I check that?
So we right click on this one. We go.
That's annoying because it should show you in that dialogue.
Yes, you're correct. Feel free to lodge a bug.
hey, check that. Fingerprint.
So
yeah.
So what you want to do is you want to check that the fingerprint that someone gives you, that they're certain they're holding on to their fingerprint, is the one you're actually downloading off the server, so that you don't accidentally get the wrong key.
Okay. Yep. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we good?
Yeah.
We're good?
Yeah.
So now we sign it very carefully.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to publish it, you could hit that. That seems to be on by default. Someone was asking about whether you can revoke a signature. That's on by default. It seems to be the standard action. I don't know what happens if you don't tick it.
You're locked into a web of trust.
Well, it kind of is. Because all the key servers, you're just signing a new piece of metadata on top of a key and it gets distributed.
That's it.
Yeah.
You can't turn off. Black
hole. Yeah.
All right.
If I was inclined, I could put a photo of myself there, and it actually gets embedded in the key.
Oh, that's cool.
Another way of doing verification.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
It's not a brilliant one. Who's someone that does it? If that works. Well, I just know because he happens to have a picture in his key, so I thought I'd just show what that can look like.
There it is.
What? No, it's supposed to show up there.
More often, they have to. No, go back to the other view.
What? Oh, it's. User error.
I know that guy.
Yeah, hang on. So you can actually totally go, that was the guy I was looking at and verify, which is just another way of verifying things. I don't think that's actually recommended as a way. But the photo is signed with all the other metadata that's on the...
Can you just trust it there? Or, but no, you wouldn't, would you?
You could, but it wouldn't be a good idea.
No.
Isn't that breaking a whole lot of other privacy rules?
Well, he chose to put his picture up there.
Yeah.
So now if they want the private key, they know.
This is really helping our identity theft business.
Well, that was actually someone raised that on the mailing list. How do you hide your email address? I don't really know what a good solution there is. Someone's,
you don't have to put an email.
Can you easily change the email address?
It has to be a valid email.
True. It is recommended that the email is completely valid because most people will sign a key and not actually upload it straight to the key server. The people that are real proper crypto geeks, they generate the signed thing and then encrypt it and email it to the person, to all the emails, so that you can't get it unless you've also got the encryption key. So they verify it in two directions. It's so over the top. But yeah, people do it.
Right.
I think we should actually call it to a close.
Yeah.
It's good. We can talk around the table downstairs later.
Okay.
So anyone who wants to swap them, let's start swap them now, I guess.
I don't know. I just got it written down.
Get people to take a photo.
Yeah, that's a good idea.